Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio once again Delaina Johnson, who's a candidate to return to her seat in the Alaska House of Representatives in the November 6th general election. Welcome, Delaina.
Good to be here.
So we're going to go run through, as we have in the past, a series of questions. We do our little background statement. And in this case, we're suggesting that both nationally and here in Alaska, there has developed an increasing political polarization resulting very often in gridlock, or what appears to be gridlock. A series of questions. First one, how do you view the present functioning of state government? And along with that, what is your approach to working with others of different perspectives to ensure quality government?
So one of the things I've kind of found as I go out and I talk to people at their doors, which is always an interesting perspective when you're talking to people at their home, at their homes, you get a real sense of where and what they're thinking about, not just in a politically charged setting or something like that. But the things that have came up to me that I'm really going to pay attention to, I mean, obviously we talk about the economy, we talk about jobs, we talk about crime. But one of the things that I hear, and I've heard it a number of times, is that the basic services, the direct services to individuals, where they touch people, the administration seems to have some trouble, especially in kind of the Medicaid area and the reimbursement, really helping and meeting people when they talk to people in government. They're not getting good, solid answers, and they're not getting not getting great responses. So I think we need to start prioritizing our direct contact with people. As far as polarization, I mean, we fortunately in Alaska for many, many years, we got to be separated from that. I mean, we were a different animal in Alaska. It was kind of like one of those things they do outside, and we didn't pay a lot of attention to national politics. Obviously, we have been front and center on the national politics stage in this last few months, and it has been part of Alaska. I hope to see us working for the benefit of everyone that works here, and that's just part of who I am. I think it comes from being in local government where, you know, really it's all about what you're getting done, not what you don't want to get done.
Okay. Question number two, and this is a multi-part, so I'll run through it and then we can revisit each section if we need to. How would you describe ethics in government and the money often connected to issues? And what would you specifically do to ensure an ethical atmosphere? For example, do you support clean election laws like they have in several other states where candidates raise small amounts of money with petition gathering and get it matched with public funds?
So I had a chance to read through that question, and I think I have some concerns about ethics in government and how we fix our election laws. I have concerns about candidates having PACs of their own, especially when they're receiving money from other candidates and then putting that money out in elections, maybe against that candidate that they received money's opponent. We need to probably take a look at that. I'm all for transparency, obviously. That's the real heart to a clean election is knowing what's going on and making that available to the public. So transparency is the number one thing to make sure that if you're allowing the law to allow people to hide and go around what the public can see, then there's a problem. So I'm all for encouraging transparency.
Are you suggesting any changes? For example, the last part of this involved a question about clean election laws so that you change the process so that candidates would raise small amounts of money and then get it matched with public funds.
You know, I think that elections are one of those things I'm not sure that I want the public funds to go into. And there's just something about that feels like maybe that's not a good idea. I'm not any more likely to think that the public funding for something is going to be better than private funding as far as keeping things even.
Okay, thank you. Question number three. In your view, what are the most serious environmental problems that need to be addressed, and what do you see as the state's role in finding a solution to those problems?
So I think, you know, we have a couple things going on. I don't know entirely what always the causation is. We certainly have to be paying attention to what we're doing in Alaska. We're at the forefront of a lot of things, as we see. We know that Alaska's been warmer lately, and we have some evidence of, you know, just whether you're up on the in an area where the brush has grown, say, a lot more than it might have in the past. One of the things that I have some real concerns with is we have federal law that says for contracts in Alaska. So a contractor takes a federal contract, and the feds will say you have to do something a certain way. I'm talking about trenching. I'm talking about excavating. Well, those things don't work in permafrost, especially not as if you open up the permafrost and it's warmer. And so now we're talking about having trenches that are 8 feet deep. We're putting lines in here. And because someone in, say, I don't know, out east came up with a one-size-fits-all way to do construction projects, and by gosh, that's how the feds are going to expect you to do it. That doesn't work in Alaska. So we need to have a little stronger voice. We use our Arctic research to let people know when we get a contract from a federal government agency that if we're going to be doing something that damages our state because of lack of information from somewhere else, well, we need to be on top of that. So, I mean, that's one of those things that I see the state definitely being able to be involved in.
Okay, thank you. Question number four. What is your view of the government's role to make sure every Alaskan has access to health care?
Well, so we have some health care issues, and health care, obviously, in Alaska is a little different than a lot of other places. I think we've done, we have with the Medicaid expansion, it's been, we're still trying to figure out, obviously, how that works. I mean, Alaska's, we have a Cadillac plan that isn't really a Cadillac. I mean, we pay for a Cadillac plan that's not working that way. We do have you know, maybe more access as far as actually having some Medicare-funded flights in and out of the villages. The government can never, ever do everything that needs to be done. And so we're going to have some continued conversations on this. I mean, whether it's, whether within the bush it's the Native corporations that might get involved with some of the health care. Maybe it's the... Here we need to have, you know, those conversations with about our veterans. We can't do everything, but maybe we can facilitate things. I know one of the concerns that I have, and this is, you know, obviously Medicaid and Medicare, it's a federal program, but the state administrates it. And we're a little behind in getting our administration sorted out. And that's problematic throughout the state. That's one thing the state needs to do is we need to administer Medicaid and Medicare. I mean, whether you're for it or against it, we have it. We need to do it right. And so it's not sometimes in budgets, it's not just having more money, it's spending your money well, making sure that things are done right. I have concerns about our Medicare patients because Medicare reimburses at a much lower rate than Medicaid. So now that we have Medicaid expansion throughout the state, Medicare patients usually are elderly, are getting crowded out because physicians just aren't taking them on because the reimbursement's not high enough in Alaska to even cover costs. So we have some things really to look at and discuss, and we absolutely as a state need to administer. When we administer something, even if it's federal government money, we need to do it right.
Okay, thank you. Fifth and last question. There's an increasing pressure on the state's budget, especially the funding of education, health and human services, and other services such as transportation and public safety are also feeling the pressure. How do you see the legislature contributing to solutions?
So that is one of those things that when you talk about the branches of government between the executive branch and the legislative branch, it sure hope that that can be some kind of a team approach. The legislature appropriates the money. And We have a lot of research and a lot of examination that we need to do, because it's all about making priorities. And if without information, it's very difficult to set the priorities that the legislature needs to do. And so I think one of the things that's happened is we've had a reduced budget. There's been a time in Alaska that we had so much largesse that people forgot how to negotiate. We could always fund everything, so you didn't have to negotiate for things. I think that's a learning experience. I think we're in the middle of learning how to negotiate and really examine things so we can fund things to fund one program over another. And, you know, it's hard decisions. I mean, that's why not a lot of people are wanting to have this job right now, because it's hard. It's not about we just have a lot of money and it's always easy to hand that money out. Right now it's time to negotiate. It's time to make the hard decisions, and it's time to look at everything. You have to look at it holistically. You have to look at it individually, and it has to be thoughtful, truthful conversation between the executive branch and the legislature, because the executive branch is really where things get spent. The legislature appropriates, the executive branch spends it, and it can't be where one branch is blaming the other branch for not having direct services funded to individuals. I don't have a lot of patience for that. It's not right to say, well, you know, if the governor would just do this, and then we would have that money available because we appropriate it. Now, sometimes that's the fact, and I mean we do have those. That sometimes that's the fact. I also I've got a number of calls where, you know, just in park service maintenance, where someone says, oh, well, it's because the legislature has made all these cuts and we don't have very basic services in the parks. I'm thinking, well, I think we did. You know, we're not cutting out the park funding to the point where we're, you know, not allowing anything to happen there. So, you know, this thing of blaming and finger pointing in the middle of a budget crisis doesn't help at all. It has to be a team approach. And, you know, on a positive note, we have, I expect to see more revenue coming in this year. And we're looking at a closer to having a balanced budget. That's a positive thing, but we need to take the lessons that we learned from having this difficult time and the conversations that we've had with people and conversations we've had within the legislature and in the executive branch and say, okay, what did we learn from having this kind of crisis, and make sure that we can take those lessons moving forward so we're a lot more functional. And that's just one of, I think it's not necessarily a good thing, but out of the budget crisis, we've had to learn to talk to each other a little bit more.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering those five questions. Now you have an opportunity to add your own comments for listeners on any topic you'd like.
All right. Well, thank you. It's one of the fun things about campaigning. There's a lot of things you can say aren't as much fun, but one of the fun things to me is really getting out and talking to people, getting to be out in the community and talking to people and hearing exactly what they have to say. And, you know, I'm reminded of what a great system we have. It's strange and it's clunky and it's maddening and it's all of these things, but we endure. And I think the reason it's that way is because at the end of the day, most people want to have a secure home. They want to have a good education for their children. They want to have opportunities to excel and have jobs where they can feed their families. And so I don't think the great differences between people, really when it comes down to people in their homes and what their goals are not that different. And if we remember that and try to remember that we're not fighting one side against each other, but we're fighting to make sure that we all have the positive opportunities that Alaska is known for and why people have came here and why we have that, you know, North to the Future motto. I mean, we have that because, you know, people come up here of all stripes and they all mostly want the same thing. And so, you know, that's my hope, is that we continue to remember that And I'm Delana Johnson, Representative District 11. I'm on Facebook and have a lot of fun there. I have a website that has more of my issues, and my phone number, of course, is 907-355-8866.
Thank you, Delana Johnson, for coming in today and sharing your views. Have a good day.
Thank you.